Duffers and Sattler present 30 Minutes in Hollywood, starring George Jessel.
Minutes in Hollywood, starring George Jessel, and by popular demand, a repeat guest appearance of Miss Norma Talmadge, who will be interviewed by Ernest Schrapps, well-known fashion creator for Hal Roach Pictures. The cast also includes Dorothy McNulty, Tommy Tucker and his orchestra, Amy Arnell, and an added guest surprise that will tickle your ribs and touch your heart, those beloved comedians for over 50 years, Weber and Fields.
We're now in George Jessel's office in Hollywood, where Tommy Tucker and his band play the title song from the show, High, Wide, and Handsome.
Stop that noise.
Listen, I'm Tommy Tucker. Who are you?
The same as I was last week. Mr. Jessel's secretary, Miss McDopey.
Oh, I thought you were going to quit.
Not until I get paid.
Well, that's how we feel.
Oh, stop, boys, and listen to my next line in the script. Here's a line I love to read. It's so fresh and new.
What is the line?
This is it. Here he comes now.
Thank you. What's going on here, Miss McDopey?
Oh, nothing. The boys are just tuning up.
I engaged them 3 months ago, and now they're first tuning up?
Mm-hmm. Say, Jessel, you look all tuckered out.
Tuckered out? How do you like that? Listen, Tucker, stop plugging yourself. You're not the sponsor. He's tuckered out. How do you like such a thing? I am tired, though, on the square. And boys and girls and you folks who are listening, you have no idea how hard it is to arrange a radio program. I never realized it before. When I was just guest starring around, I used to laugh at all my friends, the Burnses, the Bennies, and the Bennies, and the Burnses, and the Burnses. Because they worked every night on their programs. I laughed when they sat down to work. But they laughed when I came to borrow money, really. That's just kidding. Anyway, a couple of weeks ago, I said to Al Jolson, I said, Al, why don't you come with me to the fight? He said, Georgie, I'd love it. But I can't. I got to go home and work on my program. I love to take my little Ruby out, but I don't have the time. I work and I work and I work on that program, and you ain't heard nothing yet. And I said to Cantor Eddie, well, how about coming with me to the football game? He said, Georgie, look it. You know I love football? Oh, well, of course. After all, I'm an old college man, old Kappa Beta Phi Schlepper man, but I can't. I got to work on the program. From sunup to sundown on Sundays, I work with no sun to help me, you know? It's awful. And really, folks, I can appreciate how hard those fellas have worked on their programs. Miss McDopey, how long did we work on last week's show?
We started on June 8th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and from what I heard last week, it isn't finished yet.
Is that so? Now, look, Tucker, how is it you have such a mean disposition, Tommy Tucker, when your daughter Sophie is such a lovely girl, huh? Boys are playing Yankee Doodle Band from the picture Life of the Party. Tucker Swell, I want to thank you and the boys.
And the boys want me to thank you for what you gave them last week after the first broadcast. Now they'll always have something for a rainy day.
Miss McDopey, I gave them something for a rainy day?
Yes.
What?
Rubber checks.
Oh, no. There must be a mistake someplace.
Yeah, in the bank. Here's the check.
Oh, yes. First National Bank. NSF. What is that?
Not sufficient funds.
How do you like that? A big bank like that hasn't got money to pay off these poor boys.
Well, George, we've got to get some money. The hotel is going to attach our instruments. The
hotel is going to attach your instruments? They can't do that to me. Miss McDopey, get those people on the phone right away.
I can't. The man took the phone out this morning.
What was the matter?
NSF.
I know.
Not sufficient funds.
I don't need any chorus. Look, any mail, Miss McDopey?
Yes, one letter from Sally Rand.
Sally Rand?
Yeah, just fan mail.
Mm-hmm. Look, Miss McDopey, it is not my intention to be continually reprimanding you.
What?
All right, I'll make it easy. I don't want to be all the time kicking you around, understand? But I must warn you about lines like the last one, the Sally Rand fan mail episode. You must not listen to the other programs and tell the same jokes on this one, see? It isn't ethical, you know what I mean, dear? Now, personally, I might not always be humorous, Miss McDopey, but at least whatever I say, I make up out of my own mind, myself.
Oh, yeah? What about that stuff you're going to say a little later in the program on page 9? You know about you promised to hire Abe Lyman's band. Did you make that up, or did a little Benny whisper it to you during the night?
Folks, you have no idea how hard it is to arrange a radio program, really.
Oh, hello, Mr. Jassel. I'd like to know when you all want me to sing my song.
Well, Miss Arnell, you talk just like Fetch and Schmeckett. I swear you do. Oh, Miss Fennell, I want you to meet Miss McDopey. Miss McDopey, this is Amy.
I'm mighty glad to meet up with you. You know, I've been in your temple many times, Amy.
Wait a minute. What temple? This is Amy Arnell.
Who?
Arnell.
Oh, now I know her, Arnell. She's the one they ain't done right by.
Look here, Miss McDopey, if I was paying you your salary, I'd fire you.
And if you didn't know me so much, I'd quit.
Yeah.
Marty, though I'm not quite as smart as you, I could teach you a thing or two. Marty.
We bet that you would teach us that and the smartest one in class.
And the never fail to pass, that's the way you say it, Lord.
But all the things you learned in school never help you out at night.
When the moon is shining bright.
Oh, you can't learn that from books. Marty.
Though I'm not quite as smart as you, I can teach you a thing or two.
Marty. Marty. Don't you know we should hold you tight?
I can tell when I've met the right party.
So you may know every star up above. Still, you're in need of a lesson in love.
You know we're all smarty. Don't you wish that I had a heart?
You could learn to be quite so smart. Smarty.
Amy, I've been told you were a whiz in school. Got A in every subject as a general rule.
Oh, she may have knocked them for a mathematical, Luke. But we got A's, too, in alphabetical, too.
I know what she needs, a lesson in love.
Well, that's what you think, Smarty. I don't want to be loved.
Oh, you don't mean that. Why, it can't be true.
Well, I may want to be loved, but not by you, you...
Smarty, if you had only half a heart.
Yes, I know. I could be twice as smart.
Smarty.
Listen, kids. You all sing swell, but please realize, you know, you got to cut this number short, don't you know? Because we must advertise.
Georgie, you're a dope and you'll never know.
He's a dope, but he owns the show. Smart.
Remember just a few years ago what a cumbersome, inconvenient piece of equipment the average kitchen stove was? Not only were they ungainly to look at, but cooking was almost entirely by guess. What an evolution has taken place. The new Gaffers and Sattler gas ranges, utilizing the full benefits of natural gas, the modern fuel, are as different from the old kitchen stoves as the modern automobile is from the horse and buggy. Artistically beautiful pieces of furniture designed and styled to please the most fastidious housewife. The new Gaffers and Sattler gas ranges embody every modern innovation and improvement. So complete are they in perfection, a child can operate them. And even the poorest cook can produce dishes cooked just right. Built for economy, precision, efficiency, and convenience, the new Gaffers and Sattler gas ranges are made expressly for the fine homes of California. Go to your nearest dealer tomorrow and ask for a demonstration of both the new Gaffers and Sattler gas ranges and the Gaffers and Sattler electric refrigerators.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, particularly the ladies and particularly the gentlemen, too, we bring you the glamour spot of our 30 minutes in Hollywood by the request of thousands of fans who say they still miss her great performances on the screen and are happy that she has at least come out of retirement for a moment or two on the radio. I'm happy to present the first lady of the screen and the first lady of my household, Miss Norma Talmadge.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you, George, for the truly nice introduction. I only hope you meant it.
Well, of course I meant it, dear. If I mean it for all these people, I certainly mean it for you. What'd I do again, Monsieur Sosur? Anyway, Miss Talmadge, I want to say that it's lovely of you to come and visit my program again this week.
We argued about it long enough.
Folks, you have no idea how hard it is to arrange a radio program. Tell me, Miss Talmadge, are you in favor of long skirts?
No, I prefer the shorter skirts.
And why, may I ask?
Because the long skirts are inclined to pick up germs.
Is that so? Did you ever see any of the germs the short skirts have picked up? Oh.
That's right. They were wearing short skirts the year we met, weren't they, dear?
Next week I'll say something like that. But by the way, Norma, you did have a lovely gown on at that party last Thursday night.
Did you like it, George?
Oh, yes. I'd have sent you some orchids if there was anything to pin them on. But seriously, it's time now, dear, to present the man who wants to interview you and incidentally drop a few lines about, or a few ideas about the fall styles and what the people are going to wear. This gentleman is at present designing new fall creations for Constance Bennett, Billy Burke, and many other stars. I give you now, ladies and gentlemen, Hal Roach's studio fashion designer, Mr. Ernest Schraps.
Thank you, George. Hello, Norma.
Hello, Ernest. Well, let's get down to business. What's in store for the women this fall?
Dark colors and black and all materials with bright accessories.
And if the budget is limited?
A very smart black dress for the daytime with plain accessories can be made brighter and dressier by using gold kid belt, gold beads, and gold trim bag.
Will the same thing run in the spring?
Yes, plain light dresses with contrasting colors and scarves, belts, and shoes. Also this fall into spring, leather and kid trim in suit and dresses will be very good.
Will fur be used this fall and in greater abundance?
Yes, also furs that have not been used for some time will come back, such as skunk, which is very popular right now.
Not where we live. What do you suggest for evening wear?
Materials will be very lavish, and beaded and brocade gowns will be very popular. Gowns will reach the floor for fall and winter. Shorter evening dresses are all right for summer.
How can the waistline be made to look lower?
The waistline can be made to look lower by using wider girdles and yokes.
I wish you'd design one of those fall outfits for me, Ernest.
I'll be only too glad to, Norma. Shall I send the bill to Mr. Jessel?
You'd better not.
Why not?
You know, the same old thing. NSF. Thank you, Ernest. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen, last week we introduced on this program a child 7.5 years of age. This little child sang like a polished Metropolitan Opera House prima donna. This week, her age now is 7.5 years and 1 week old. But according to the response and the reaction of you listeners, it is the biggest hit that any little girl of such tender age has ever made. We are happy to present her again, little Miss Josephine Starr. Tell me, honey, how long have you been singing, Josephine?
Oh, for years and years.
Mm-hmm. Ever since you were a child, huh? Well, tell me, what is your number going to be tonight?
The waltz song from Romeo and Juliet in French.
Go ahead, dear.
Thank you.
Isn't that remarkable, ladies and gentlemen, from such a kid, such a voice caller, isn't it? She's so smart, that little child, and my brother-in-law is such a dope. How do you make it? Ladies and gentlemen, our guest star appearance is to me not only the high spot of our program, but the entrance on this stage of these two gentlemen marks one of the highest spots that the American amusement world has ever known. Time conquers all things, they say, but the long years, almost a half century, have not dimmed the affection that the American public feel in their hearts for Weber and Field.
Golly, Mike, you always look funny, but today you look funnier than ever.
Why, what's the matter?
What kind of a coat is that you got on?
That's a very stylish coat.
Stylish?
Yeah, that's a three-button cutaway.
A three-button cutaway?
Yeah.
One more cut and it'd be an undershirt. Oh, Mike, look. What? There's a saloon over there.
Uh-huh.
And look, a sign says 5 cents a glass of beer.
Oh, that's cheap, ain't it?
Cheap, I should say. Have you got any money?
Not a cent.
Are you thirsty?
Not a bit.
I could love you for those boys.
Yeah, why?
I'll tell you why. You see, I've only got 5 cents.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just dying for a glass of beer.
Yeah.
Now, it wouldn't look nice for both of us to walk in the saloon and one of us drink and the other one don't.
Yeah.
So when you get inside, I'll say to you, what are you going to have?
Uh-huh.
And you, in sort of a careless way, say, oh, I don't care for anything.
I got to say that.
Then I'll say to the bartender, give me a glass of beer, and I'll drink the beer and we'll walk out, and the bartender won't know whether we got money or not.
Yeah, yeah.
Will you do that?
Oh, sure.
Now, remember, all you got to say is, oh, I don't care for it.
Well, let me understand myself.
Yeah.
When you say, what are you going to have? All I got to say is, oh, I don't care for anything.
Oh, Mike, you say that so cute. I wish I had another 5 cents so I could hear you say it twice.
Maya, Maya.
What?
Let us go in, by golly, before I forget it.
Come on, then we go.
Wait. What?
Something in my heart tells me you're not going to do this right.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what we're going to do. Let us practice on the outside, then we're going to know what we're going to do on the inside.
That's a good idea. Now, here, we'll imagine that here is a door, and there is a bar, and there's a rail on the bar, and over in the corner is the free lunch.
Free lunch?
Yes, the free lunch.
Yeah, yeah.
But don't you go near that now. Now, here we go.
Yeah.
Now, what are you going to have?
Oh, I don't care for anything.
Oh, go on, take something.
I don't care for anything.
Take something small.
Well, I take a small bottle.
What? A small bottle? With my 5 cents, you're going to take a small bottle?
Well, what do you want to coax me for?
I wasn't coaxing you. I was only making a bluff.
Oh, well, I don't take any bluffs.
Well, Mike, listen. But 5 cents is all the money that I got.
All right, then why don't you say, what are you going to have and don't have it?
I'll say anything I like. And all you say is, ooh, I don't care for it.
Yes.
Now we'll commence again.
All right.
What are you going to have?
Oh, I don't care for anything.
Oh, go on, take something.
Well, I take a cigar.
A cigar? With my 5 cents cigar? Listen, you want to pull up my money?
Well, do I got to give up smoking, too?
If you don't give up smoking, I'll have to give up drinking.
Maya?
What?
You better come in, I'm getting thirsty.
Well, all right, yes. Remember,
what?
You don't drink, you don't smoke, and you don't eat.
I must be a dead one.
Never mind what you are. Now, this time we're going in.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, remember, no matter how much I coax you, all you say is, ooh, I don't care for it.
Ooh, I don't care.
Care for it.
Ooh, that's the idea.
Well, I'm glad to see you, boys. And what are you going to have?
How are you, Mr. Barton?
How are you, boys?
Pretty good.
What do you have?
Wait till I ask my friend. Mike, what do you want?
Ooh, I take a glass of beer.
Wait, Mr. Barton, wait. I want to find out and see if my friend knew what he was saying. He doesn't know. But we practiced outside, don't you remember this? Now, what are you going to have?
I take a glass of beer.
All right, and what are you going to have?
Ooh, I don't care for anything.
Yeah, boys, here's the one beer.
Well, he's looking at me.
I hope you choke.
Yeah.
Mike, come outside. I want to commit 2 suicides. Yours and mine.
No. Can't you let me enjoy my glass of beer?
Come outside, Mike, before I drag you out. Come out here, you mustard, you. You freak, you. My gracious, you. Now I got you outside. What did you say?
Well, when I saw the bartender, I forgot. I didn't know what I said, and I said, give me a glass of beer.
You gracious, you're so dumb. If you had a little more brains, you'd be a half-wit.
Half with what?
Half with brains and half without. You know, you're just the same as a thief.
Yeah?
You stole my glass of beer, didn't you?
That's so.
You're just as good as a thief.
Don't you call me a thief.
Well, if you ain't a thief, then what is a thief?
Well, I'm going to tell you. If I walk up to you with a pistol, when I say, chuck up your hands, when I put my hand in your pocket and I take out a whole lot of money, what would I be?
You'd be a wonder.
I just don't know how to thank the both of you. I can only suggest something that I know that the whole audience will voice with me. Tommy, play it.
Housewives of California unanimously vote Gaffer's and Sattler gas ranges and electric refrigerators the premier choice over all others. This popularity must be deserved. The reason can be explained in a very few words. Gaffer's and Sattler ranges and refrigerators give you greater value than any other make. Designed and styled to meet every demand of both appearance and use, the fine Gaffer's and Sattler gas ranges may be purchased from your nearest dealer at no more cost than the average range. Go to your dealer tomorrow. No matter where you live in California, you will find a Gaffer's and Sattler dealer close by. Ask for a demonstration of these marvelous gas ranges, and we know that your next kitchen range will be a Gaffer's and Sattler. And we know, too, that with it, you will find new joys and thrills never before experienced in cooking.
once you've cooked the Gaffers and Sattler way, you'll never return to the use of an ordinary range. For every woman can be an excellent cook with the new Gaffers and Sattler, the finest gas range ever built.
This George. Well, how did you like the show? Oh, you liked it? Well, I'm glad. Give your love to Lou and Joe. Well, of course, everybody says that. And pay your best to Tommy Tucker. You remember Tommy Tucker? He used to live on our block, huh? Well, oh, you wouldn't remember him by that name, but that's him. Yeah, yeah. Well, you always had a memory for long names. Well, of course. What have you been doing with yourself? You went away for the week to Niagara Falls. That's fine. Did you go by Buffalo? You didn't? You went by train. Well, that's all right. Say, how is Anna? How is Anna feel? She what? For the first time in her life, she went horseback riding. Well, that's good exercise, Mama. Tell me, how does she ride? Side, saddle, or... Oh, she asked the man how she should ride. He said it makes no difference. It's just as broad as it's long. All right, dear. Well, look, Mom. Look, we've got to sign off now, but I want you to be sure and listen again next week at the same time. And look, before little Willie goes to bed, try to tell him one thing. Tell him to remember what Grandpa always said. You don't know how hard it is to arrange a rodeo program. Good night, Mom. Good night, everybody.
George Jessel, Norma Talmadge, guest stylist Ernest Schrapp, Melrose Pictures, Tommy Tucker and his orchestra, Dorothy McNulty, and those two beloved comedians of the stage, Weber and Fields, have come to you in 30 Minutes in Hollywood. Next week, George Jessel will present his guest, the young MGM star Judy Garland, and the famous motion picture comedian Burt Wheeler of Wheeler and Woolsey, brought to you direct from Hollywood over facilities of the Don Lee Network. 30 Minutes in Hollywood, starring George Jessel, has been a presentation of Gaffers and Sattler.
Program with the selections Smarty from Double or Nothing, I Still Love to Kiss You Goodnight from 52nd Street, Roses in December from Life of the Party, and You've Got Something There from Varsity Show. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
KHJ, the Don Lee Station, Los Angeles.